appreciate your prayers. I am so thankful to be here. I have had a desire to come here for quite a while, so I'm glad the Lord made a way for us. I have something I've been thinking about, and I really need the Lord to help me with it. There's an idea that kind of, I think it's kind of in the back of our mind sometimes. Sometimes it comes in the forefront. But there's an idea that if something happens to someone that's really bad, that they've done something bad. If good things happen to people, it's considered, a lot of places in the world really consider prosperity a blessing. It is a blessing of God, but they consider it directly that. And, you know, it's the story of Job brings that out. The first natural thought that the people had when they saw what happened to Job, the first natural thought they had was that Job done something to deserve that. He obviously sinned. They tried to convince him in that kind of language. Job, come on. I mean, we've talked about this stuff before. I mean, it's obvious you've done something that you shouldn't have done, and you just as well admit it. I mean, even as what, curse God and die. I mean, you know you did that. And Jesus did something similar, maybe in an opposite way, but he said about some people, they come to him and said, these are sinners. Look what happened to these people. They must have been sinners. You think they're sinners above all, right? That's what he's telling you. These must be sinners above all. This happened to them, and this happened to them, and surely they deserved that, what happened to them. But Jesus put a little bit different idea to it. He says to them, unless you repent, you think they're worse sinners because that happened to you. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't repent, you're all likewise perish. So there was a whole different idea of what we can think. I can remember people saying to me before, somebody gets a bad disease or does something, and they'll say, they must have been sure away from the Lord. Well, I want to say right now, kind of my message is that God loves you, and he loves everybody. God cares about you tonight, and you may be doing something that's wrong, or you may not be, but there may be things in your life, and we all recognize this, I think. I mean, I definitely recognize it, that I would never be so bold to ever say that I've arrived, that I know myself so well, I'm in just such a place, that, I mean, I'm there. I mean, you guys, I'm there, everybody. No, I don't think that way. I'm dependent upon the Lord to help me. I don't even think that I see myself well all the time, and sometimes something will happen, and I'll say, I didn't know that about myself, or something to that, so I'm dependent totally upon the fact that I believe that the Lord loves me and cares for me, and I want the Lord to work in my life. I want the Lord to do that in my life. I think we should be able to say amen to the will of God, whatever it is, because sometimes God seems to send a wrecking ball into people's lives sometimes, and you look and you say, it isn't the conclusion that we want to have is that curse God and die? I mean, that's a terrible idea. It's just a terrible idea that you deserve it, curse God, and die. No, that's not the purpose of it. That's definitely not the purpose of it. It's not the Lord allow anything into people's lives. That's not the purpose of it. There's hideous and all kind of things goes on in the world. It's not the Lord's purpose to try to get us to the place to say, curse God and die, for sure. Has anyone ever had, I mean, some of you are young and don't have them, but you ever have a strong-willed child? Did you ever hear of that term, a strong-willed child? I've had the great privilege in this life to have had 9 children, and there's some that's been very docile, and there's some that's had kind of strong wills, and we've run into strong strong-willed, strong, that want their way from a very, very young age. And love can be challenged, but not what you think it is. The idea was always, I believe this is probably not a popular thing in modern culture, but I always heard the challenge was to break the will without breaking the spirit. But you have to bring the will into control. You can't let a two-year-old child do whatever they want. You can't let them grow up being strong-willed and it'll do anything you want. So the great challenge was always, how do I bring the will into subjection here without breaking the spirit? Because they're young and tender and you can't break their spirit. But how do you keep them from doing the things they shouldn't and make them thrive in the things that they should or have a desire for it? And if you try to do something too much, you can squash the whole idea. And you can squash it. And I actually had one of my children that I'm not proud of this, but it happened at a very young age. My child threw a piece of paper in the floor. That's a minor offense, folks. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, paper in the floor happened all the time, but then I said to my little child, "Hey, don't throw that in the floor. Pick that up and put it in the trash can." And my child looked at me. So now it's a challenge between us. Now, love is love. I mean, love, there's no doubt in my mind that I love my child. And nothing that I was doing there had anything to do with anything but love in my heart. So I said, you know, pick it up and put it in the trash. And now there's a standoff. You ever run into anything like that, you parents? The challenge is that there's a will challenge here. I say, put it in there. My child's not going to do it. So that means that there's some love taps. But it didn't make him do it. I'm not saying it grammatically correct because I wasn't trying to get away from whether it's male or female. So just say I'm not that bad. But the child wasn't going to respond to me. So there was another incident of love tapping. This went on for a while, folks, to the point that I say, who's going to win this? But I didn't feel like that I could lose it. Not because if I win this, I'm going to go to bed feeling like a hero. Because I'm going to feel like a heel no matter what happens now. But the child has to be able to respond to this. And it got to the point that my child actually was holding it over the can, but wouldn't drop it. With more taps coming, but wouldn't drop it. And finally says, "Daddy, knock it out of my hand. Because you can do anything but break my will, right? You can do anything but make me do it." Actually, there was a monumental change when that happened and we hugged and but I saw something different after that in the child's life. Love's hard sometimes. I don't think God takes pleasure ever in seeing misery and uncomfortable places for his children. I don't think God glories in the idea that we somehow don't feel well or I got to be up all night with sickness. I don't think God's glorying saying that's just what I want. But I do think God is trying always to get something better to us, something more for us. And if you want to look, without turning over there, most of us know the scripture, but there's a passage of scripture in Jeremiah 29 and 11. It's a familiar scripture to most all of us. You remember, it's something that we encourage ourselves with because it says something to this effect. The Lord says, "I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord." I know my thoughts. What comfort that brings to us? The Lord said, "I know my thoughts toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. I don't have to bring you to, not evil, but to bring you to an expected end. There's a plan here in that, and we've used that scripture many, many times to encourage ourselves that what I'm going through, God knows about, and what He's allowed to happen in my life, He's did this for me, and He's doing something for me. And you know, when I finally looked at that scripture and realized what it was actually saying, then you back up that he was actually just told them that they was going to go 70 years into being slaves in Babylon. And this is what's going to happen to you because you've been in idolatry, all these same kind of things. And then he does all that. And then he says, but I know my thought toward you. And I'm going to send you down. They're going to come and get you. You're going to be slaves. And you're going to have to do these things that they want you to do. You're not going to be able to do what you want to do. And all that. But I know my thoughts toward you. This is the purpose and the reason. You got to drop that yourself. God's got to do something. Sometimes it's almost a wrecking ball that the Lord's got to use into our lives to get us to the place that we'll do what we should do, but won't do. I don't think it's always not a knowledge thing. I think sometimes we do know, but we just won't. I got to the point that I picked the paper up and I got it all the way to the can, but it just won't let go of it. What do we do? I mean, what would we want as a body of people? I'll tell you, absolutely, I know God loves us. But what do we do? What do we want? What do we do when we get to the place to say, I'm imperfect. I can't get there. How am I going to get to what I'm supposed to be? How? Well, it's going to have to be God. It's going to have to be God working and helping me in life. Because if the Lord doesn't do it, I have no avenue for it. And we'll look at just one verse in Nahum, the first chapter. In the third verse, it says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storm. That seems so descriptive to me. It sounds, what do you want to say? Specific about something. The Lord has his way in it. He didn't say that he just controlled it, but within it, within the workings of a tornado, if you will. You guys are pretty familiar with hurricanes, I understand. Well, in the middle of hurricanes, even one of the big dangers is it spawns tornadoes, and so you may have a tornado coming in here at 100 miles an hour, but it can spawn 200 mile an hour tornadoes within it. I mean, that's what the damage is. And they're extremely powerful. The Joplin tornado, was that back in 11 or something? It's been a while. The Joplin tornado moved that big hospital there in Joplin, moved it off its foundation. I've seen I-beams twisted like a pretzel from a tornado, from wind. I've seen a place in Joplin where there must have been, I don't know how many cars, looked like hundreds of cars in a pile, all piled up. It whittled down oak trees that it'd take two of us, maybe three, to reach around. Big, gigantic oak trees. Not maybe as big as some of your live oaks, but big trees, oak trees. And after the tornado went through, there was a 12-foot stump that was no bark left on it from the ground, like a sandblaster. It completely sanded off in just a few minutes. This tornado comes through there and completely rips everything about that tree and sandblasts it down to nothing but the wood. I mean, the amount of power that these things have. I saw one time I saw this. We was doing some cleanup in the area, and I saw what I thought was a little compact car. When I got up to it, it was a big van. It was just a compacted one. The storm had compacted it like an accordion. It was unbelievable. I went to pull, there was a piece of plywood stuck in the ground, and we was cleaning it up, so I come to get the plywood, and it was about 2 feet of it sticking out of the ground, kind of like that, and I went to get the plywood cleaning up, so I went to pull it out, and I couldn't even budge it. I wonder if it was the whole sheet, 4x8 down in there. It's just a little bit sticking out, but it would have took, I don't know what it took. Several of us got it, tried to move, we couldn't even move it. The amount of force that is in these things. It's just incredible to look at some of that. And yet, there's something that's totally amazing about it. And yet, in the middle of something so destructive and powerful, right in the middle of that, there'll be anomalies. There'll be unexplainable things. The house is gone, but the birthday card's still sitting on the table. You know what I mean? Joplin was all flattened, and you couldn't see none of the buildings that used to be there, none of the things there, but right at the Burger King Playland, one of the plastic tubes was, if you'd have been in that tube, you'd have been fine. You could watch the whole thing. Well, I mean, unless it sucked you out. But here is a plastic tube. Nothing left standing anywhere. You can look all the way around, some stubs and some trees, and here is a plastic tube that's still standing there. There was reports of that testimonials of that tornado that was just amazing. I don't doubt them because the scriptures here is saying that he has his way. In the whirlwind and in the storm within it, God does things within it. There was the story that this guy told about, he said he got caught out and he went running in to his house. He just was making it there as the tornado was bearing down, and he went and he was going to dive down into his cellar, and he got in and the door flew back and pinned him with such force, pinned him behind the door, and he was stuck behind the door with the force of the wind. He couldn't push the door out. When the tornado was all done and he was able to push the door open, the only place in the house was gone. The only thing left on the foundation was the corner in the door that he was behind. You can explain that away, if you want, of the anomalies that can happen with a tornado. It can move some of the biggest objects and leave something that's like a feather sitting in place in doing that. And I'm saying to you today that God loves you. And the storms of life and the whirlwinds and the storms, and if you will, sometimes it seems like a wrecking ball. It seems like it's too much sometimes. Sometimes it seems like what disaster it leaves in its wake. God doesn't destroy anything that God don't want destroyed or need destroyed. Sometimes in our life, the only way to get our attention, I wish it wasn't so with me. I wish it wasn't so with you. But with humanity, I can say it. There is times the only way to get our attention is with something more than just a normal day. Something that speaks louder than that. Something that's going to get our attention, and when we get through looking at it, we look at it and say, this was something of God here in this. This had to be something of God. Of course, I don't know what happens to people after they go through an experience. I don't know. There was no more, didn't know who this man was that testified of that. But this man said, thank the Lord. He said, God did that for me. There was another story in the Joplin tornado that come out of it, that the guy got caught out with his little daughter, and I think the trampoline was flying away and all this thing was flying away, and he grabbed his daughter and tried to protect her, and they was out in the yard. They didn't make it to safety, and he pinned himself over top of her and tried to dig into the ground as best he could and just protect her from flying objects and all that, and just let the thing go over and done it like that. And he said it after that, he said, I don't know how I hung on like I did. He said, I don't know how and what had happened. And his little girl says, well, Daddy, I know how you did it. And said, it was the butterfly that was on your back that was holding you down. Well, he didn't say anything like that, but a little three-year-old girl testified to something. Well, what do you mean? There was no butterfly. Yeah, there was a butterfly. I could see its wings on your back. That right in the middle. God has his way in the middle of the whirlwinds. God has his way in the middle. Now, as the church, I want to say this, and I appreciated the exhortation before that, because we say the church, we know what we're talking about. Thank God that it's that way. I'm glad. I wouldn't want to be something where I thought I was the only one, a little place down here. Thank God this is to everybody, everywhere. What a message. Thank the Lord. But I can say this. You and I ain't got a chance if the Lord don't help us. We ain't got a chance to start and be successful in the middle or in this thing if the Lord don't help us. We need God. And he cares for us. And he's going to do, Lord, help us to accept it this way. He's going to do for us what we need him to do. I can't answer the whole story of Job, of course. You know the story about how Satan came and those kind of things. And he was, have you considered my servant Job? An upright man, one that loves right and hates evil. Well, that's a good testimony. The Lord gave it of him. But he didn't say he was just perfect and he couldn't be improved upon. God knew that what this thing coming was going to do something for him. What a wrecking ball into his life, right? Lost family, lost possessions, lost all this, then he lost his health. Well, I mean, you can read that in 30 seconds, but you can't live it in 30 seconds. You can't get boils on you all the way out of your body. They don't come that way. They don't leave in 30 seconds. He done this in a period of time, and he had this on his life. And no doubt, my wife will tell you about boils. She had a couple of boils, and she'll tell you that's a hard thing to go through. So they're terrible. He was covered with boils and all those kind of things. But God looked through all of that and was in the middle of that and said, I got gold for you, Job. You know what I believe? I believe Job was longing for gold. That's what I believe. I believe Job wanted more of God. I believe God, he longed for more of God. And God was using a thing to allow him to get into a place that he could be more used of God. That he could say, it's better at the end than the beginning. I'm better off now than I was ever. God restored and replaced all this. And how did he do it? Oh, I've heard of him, but now I see him. What did he say? I have come forth as pure gold. Didn't start out as pure gold. I come forth as pure gold. Everything he did in the middle of this, giving me grace, giving me strength, helping me when I started saying things, Job, where was you at when I made this stuff? Where was you at when I put the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky? Oh, Lord, I repent of my attitude. Well, Job had a pretty good attitude. I've had a lot worse attitudes than what Job's had. But he come forth as gold. God had a plan from the start, and we'll make Job. Oh, he's wonderful. He's a servant. And this is what I want to do with him. I'm going to shine him up. I'm going to polish him. I'm going to give him something else. And as I say this, we live in a dangerous time. We're being robbed. Our minds are being robbed. If we're not careful, I can't. Of course, God knows, but I'm going to say this. In this time, we're being robbed of our spirituality, of our stuff. We can be by the simple daily activities of the internet and of all these things. We can just be robbed. And what would you say to that? Lord, help us. If our nation was completely gone, would we say, Lord, where's the storm? Lord, have mercy. Lord, I want to accept what you bring into my life to give me what I can't do for myself. I can't do it for myself. and I need you to do it. But the Lord, this expression seems so expressionable to me because he says he has his way in the whirlwind. He's using it, but within that whirlwind, he doesn't want to crush our spirit. He only wants to bring our will in. He wants us to be alive and vibrant. He wants the church to be alive and vibrant. I do, be honest with you, I have a burden about the things of this modern age. Because I feel the difference. I see the difference. I'm noticing the difference. I'm noticing the draw to always. I feel a pressure and a thing on it to say, and I'm wondering, how's that affecting me? How's that working to me? I told somebody the other day, I hope it's okay to speak this way to the glory of God. But the other day, I was thinking about some stuff, and I said, I remember back the first computer we got had this encyclopedia type thing on it. And in this encyclopedia, you go to different things, and they'd have these little video clips in there to show you what they were talking about. Like, there was like a little clip in there, the Sherman tank of World War One or Two, for instance, and there's a little clip of it, about 10 seconds of it running. I used to go and watch it because it was fascinating, because I didn't watch anything. I didn't see anything. There's the little video things. Hey, that's neat with those video things. Videos. I'm not talking evil. I'm not talking it has to be evil. I'm just talking about Our minds. Lord, help us. Whatever it takes. Lord, send. I guess it's bold to say that, but Lord, help us. Help us to be true. Help us to be true in the time that we live in. There was a scripture over in Mark 4 and 35, I think I want. It says, in the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. What was it full of? I mean, water? Maybe you're not allowed to do this, but I'm going to make what sounds like to be a given. Somebody got wet. What it sounds like. Somebody was up. It had water up around their feet and had water coming. I think somebody was scared. I mean, it doesn't actually say that, but I think the reading is that there's a great storm arose. Not a little bitty one. A great storm arose. And the winds came up and all this, and these men are out there and they know what it's like to be out there. It's terrifying. I got caught with my brother-in-law one time out on the Chesapeake Bay, and he had a good-sized boat with a big motor on it. And we was fishing, and we didn't want to quit. And we was out there, and we heard we saw the thunderheads coming. We saw the lightning flashing, but we didn't want to fish. And finally, he just says, it was kind of a nickname of mine, of either Mart or Mark, and he says, Mark, we're about too late. You just don't want to be caught out here on the bay when them storms hit. Said, we better make a run for it. And so he gunned it down. We pulled the lines in, and he gunned it down. And, I mean, we was jumping waves and going, and the lightning was flying, and the water was coming. And I knew why he said, you don't want to be out here right now at this time. And I was thinking, we're going to have to swim. Well, we made it, but there's a sense here of this, that these people were out there. They didn't have a big motorized boat either. They was out there in this ship, and here's this storm comes up. And I want to tell you something about the storm. God has his way in the whirlwind. And he has his way in the storm. Within the middle of that storm, in the middle of that, he'll let you get wet. He'll let you get scared. He'll let you feel your need. He'll bring you to a place sometimes that there's nothing else left. If God don't help us, if God, Lord, if you don't help us, what are you going to do? You going to row it out? What are you going to be bailing? What do they have to bail? You're bail, trying to keep the water out? What are you going to do to keep the... What, are you going to swim the shore? What are you going to do? Lord, this is... He has his way, his purpose, when they're in the middle of it, to say to the child, let go, let go. Come to faith. Realize this. In the middle of this, you don't think the Lord knew about this? Well, it's obvious he did. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, this is the question, is it not? Master, carest not that we perish. This was where he wanted to bring them to. Carest not that we perish? I don't know how they said that. I don't know if they said that with a lot of conviction. It was a question. But did they mean that? Was it just doubt that rose up on them? I mean, look at the circumstances. I mean, I know why they would say it. Carest not that we perish? I'm going to tell you tonight that the Lord cares more than you do about whether you perish or not. He cares about us enough to bring a storm. He cares enough about us sometimes. Oh, I want to tell you, with my child and having to discipline my child like that, that was an awful, awful thing for me to have to do. But love demanded it. Love required it. How could I say that my feelings of hurt and all that I felt would be more important than what she needed? Oops, I just said it, but anyway, it was she needed. I was figuring I was going to do that. Well, what do we do? Love, God's love for us, we'll have him bring a storm. He will. You can say, God loves me. Look, God loves me. He's going to love me right through this. Jesus actually gets up and was such a lesson in this for them. I don't think they ever forgot it. You think they ever preached on this? You think the ones that was there ever preached on this? I'd say they preached on this a few times. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And he puts the things where he wants, and he leaves the things he wants. In the Joplin tornado, there was a shoe. It was a shoe store. And the whole front, the door wasn't open. It didn't have a door. It didn't have a front. The whole front of the store is gone, and you're looking right into the shoes. And the whole front of the store is gone, but the shoes are still sitting neatly in their rack. You know how they take one out, put it on, and have a little sticker there that says how much it is. The stickers were still there. The whole front of the store is gone, and all the rest of the store looks like it was immaculate. There wasn't a thing wrong with it in there. It was just perfectly done. Never touched the thing. The Lord knows what to leave in our lives. He knows what's right in our life. He knows how to deal with our lives. You know, he's the only one that is a surgeon, with surgical skill, he can surgically work on you with a whirlwind. and destroy everything that needs to be destroyed and work on what needs to be worked and leave what needs to be left right there at the same time. Of course, we've learned things and we've got qualities and those kind of things, but where there's a lacking in there, the Lord knows how to touch that and help us in it. We sing a song. Make me what thou would have me to be. As clay, I am to thee. I mean, really? Really? That's something to say, isn't it? Like, really? Like, what's it going to take to... What's it going to take to remold the clay? I'm just clay, Lord. Just make me. Well, there's an area here that you ain't even close. So it's going to take some pushing and some bending and some spending and some working. And really? All the scribes said, I'll follow you whithersoever you go. Well, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Let me rethink that. I'm not sure about that. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, but I think there was an implication that the man was probably saying, well, that's not what I meant. I meant that deal about turning the fish, you know, feeding the cheese, and that's kind of what I meant there about that. How about, Lord, help me whatever it takes. Lord, help us as the church. Help us as the scripture in Revelations where it kept saying, and the angel of the church of Ephesus, of Laodicea, write this about their time, or write that about them and who they are. Some he commended and said, you've done well, but you right now you're in this place to where you're doing it all well, and you started doing it for the right reasons, and now you're not doing it for the right reasons, and you're about into this place that I'm going to remove the candlestick from you because you used to do it for the right reason, and now you're not doing it for the right reason. And so there was a commendation to them, but with the warning, get it back right. Get it back right. And there was these other ones, and it was in the situation I was telling you about. I think it was Laodicea. They was in a position where they were affluent. That was a very affluent place in that day, in the early church. And they were rich people, and they were affluent. And so they had businesses, and they was in commerce, and they did that. And they were doing all this, and the church prospered, and they prospered physically. And they got to the point that it wasn't about salvation. Their blessing was because they was rich. They didn't have no needs. And that proved that God was with them. It proved to myself, my business is booming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. He just keeps booming my business. And he comes along and says to them, you're naked. You're poor. You're wretched. You're going to have to do something. You know, sometimes in those kind of places, there's a storm on the horizon. The Lord don't want to destroy them. He wants to bring them to a knowledge of him. Right? He wants to bring us to this knowledge to where when I say, Lord, make me what you would have me to be, then I can expect. I know my thoughts toward you. Lord, comfort me with your words. I know my thoughts toward you. You're about to get to see me. Well, I've told this many times, but I'll brief it. I had a real desire one time. I was praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to know what that is. I want to be like you. That was my prayer. Well, the Lord allowed something to happen in my life to where people turned on me. That wasn't what I was talking about in my mind. Well, no, it was what I was talking about. It just wasn't the way I wanted to get there. But I mean, that's what I was talking about. But some things people turn on me. People that I loved and only helped. The only relationship I had with them pretty much was me helping them. Relationship. when they needed something, they called me. I never turned them down. I instantly went over and helped them. And they turned on me. And got pretty ugly about it. And I tried to make it better and couldn't. And they wouldn't let me do it. And I kind of boo-hooed about it. My wife was much better about it. She just said, well, we'll pray for them. Well, that's kind of what the Bible said. You know, they despitefully use them. You pray for them. And so it's like that. But I was, mine was more like look what they did to me. And I was telling the Lord about it, you know, praying about it, and said, the only thing I ever did to them was to want to help them. And the Lord spoke to me so plain and said, yeah, that's what they did to me. You want to be like me? If you really want to understand what it's like, then you're going to have to experience it. I know what it feels. I know what the Lord felt like. I knew what it felt like was to turn around and say, Lord, give me your love for them anyway. Help me to feel that mercy and love that you had to the ones that did that to you. Because I feel that now. It was a sting. It hurt. I don't want people to think I'm a bad person, go around telling everybody in the community of things that wasn't true and telling them like that. I didn't want that to happen, but it did. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it. They called him Beelzebub. They called me immoral and unethical and all this stuff. Well, Lord, help me. You may say, well, that didn't sound like much of a storm. Well, it was a storm to me. It was a storm to my emotions. It was a storm to my life. I had to deal with that inside me. And I had to deal with the thoughts that would come I'll just show them. I won't even talk to them. I'll just turn away from them. All this stuff. Lord, help me. Do you ever have those kind of carnal thoughts? Yes, we do. But the Lord helps us through those kind of things by His grace. And He helps us to do it when we want to do it. And sometimes we don't even realize where we're at in life about those kind of things until the Lord gives something that's shocking enough for us to say, Lord, you don't care that I'm perishing. If they keep doing that to me, I'm going to perish. And the Lord says, oh, you have little faith. I got grace for you in that area. I only wanted you to realize you don't have grace in that area. I want to work in the middle of the whirlwind for you. Right in the middle of that, I want to give you a power of grace that you can, right there in the middle of it, you can do what you're supposed to do. You can stand where you're supposed to stand right in the middle of it. And you know that wasn't that the experience of the early church? No matter what happened there, it grew anyway. They tried to stomp it out. They couldn't because it was there. Right in the middle of the persecution, Christianity grew. Why? Because God was only letting persecution destroy what needed to be destroyed in them. And He was elevating what needed to be elevated in their life. More grace, more love, more passion. He was giving it all. At the same time, He was destroying the kind of, right in the middle of the storm, He said, you're going to need some persecution. Well, Lord, I don't think the Lord gives us persecution because He thinks it's fun. I think He does it because it's enhancing in the middle of it. He makes us better. In the middle of it, you can see a light shines better than the darkness, and it does in the middle of the day. It shines out, and you can see the difference in it. And so there was people there that saying, there must be something in that. There must be something in the middle of that. Oh, Nicodemus comes to the Lord by night. Oh, he had some flaws in him, didn't he? He had some flaws, sneaking around at night, didn't want to be known. Oh, he didn't have nothing. Did a little bit of a storm coming in, and this and that, and leaving the good and taking the bad out, and working it and giving him grace for what he needed. He may have went to the Lord by night at one point, but there was a time that he went bold. Lord, help us. Old Peter was a big failure for a little while. He had his failures and done this, and I'll never deny you. Well, that's quite a storm. The Lord didn't want to destroy him with that. He did want him to know. You know what He wanted him to know? He wanted him to know that without Him, he could do nothing. He wanted him to know that, but just because Peter thinks it, just because Peter thinks he's strong enough to do it, just because you set your mind on it, doesn't mean that you can. And the Lord wanted him to know it. And there come a time that he did that and much more, but he did it by the Spirit of the Lord. He done it by God, and he gave him the credit for it too. It's the Lord that gives us all these things. Lord, help us today in trials that come. I'm bold enough to say this, that if you live very long, you're going to go through some storms. You're going to go through some trials, and there's going to be times that you feel like it's just a wrecking ball. And it's just, you think it just has destroyed everything you're around, but right in the middle of it, God wants to raise up something that's so much better than it was. He's not going to tear down anything that he doesn't build back up better. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.